Go to 2 Kings 11. When you look at the characters in the Old Testament, you are looking at people, you know, God's given you actual people, actual lives, and showing you how they were either influenced by their faith in God and the priests and the spirituality of the day, or how they were influenced by Satan. Okay? Well, how much more now, with God living inside of us, should we be changed to the likeness of Christ? And we really don't have to look any further than Christ to see what that's going to look like. But if you want to see how the devil's creating people and what he's done in you, really study the people that the Lord put in the Word by name, by character, and gives you their traits. And you'll see the things that he's done in their lives is the exact same things he's trying to do in our lives to make us like him. And so a lot of people will call it like the spirit of Jezebel or the spirit. That's fine. As long as you get the revelation, it's not necessarily a one spirit kind of thing. It is the plot of the enemy to cause this person who has made the image and likeness of God to be like the devil. Okay? So if all those spirits involved in that recognize when you say, spirit of Jezebel, come out, at every spirit in that, see, it's not so much what they know, is what you and the Holy Spirit know. Okay, what did the demons say when the Bible, the person tried to cast them out? It says, Paul I know, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Okay, so it's about the Holy Spirit driving those demons out, driving those spirits out. So that's why it's not an intellectual formula. If that was true, you know, we just go read all these prayers and everybody be free. It's just not true. So when you say the spirit of Jezebel come out or the spirit of anger or any of those things, what you're really doing is you're saying this demonic thing that produced this personality or produced this attribute, it has to leave me. I'm not in agreement with it anymore. It's not who God made me to be. Okay, does everybody understand that? So when you're doing deliverance ministry and you're helping people get free, please don't put it into legalistic formulas. That doesn't do anything. I mean, even when you sit and renounce things, like when I'm in the Philippines in a couple weeks, Terry's going to be doing a really in-depth teaching over here on getting free from sexual addiction, like pornography, gender problems, if you had that in your past or there's areas of it that's still trying to get to you, you need to come. God really, I'll talk about this later tonight, but the enemy gave me a really gross dream. And in the dream, he really tried to have me release myself to something that was unclean because it was just like, in the dream, it was so real. It was like feeling good kind of thing. And the Holy Spirit woke me up and I broke the power of the dream. And I said, God, why? I haven't had something like that happen in years and years and years and nothing quite that intense. And I said, why? Why was that allowed? You know, what happened? And the Lord just showed me Satan's very serious. He is releasing demonic demons to make the world like Sodom and Gomorrah. He is really releasing these things out of the pit. So because of that, the Lord really put on my heart, I believe, I said, this is it. We're going after every single drop of lust and uncleanness from our past. Because I don't want the enemy to be able to be attacking people with this stuff. And had people just thought, oh, it's just a dream, that spirit would have got in. So I'm saying all that so that you can, you know, that's what we're going to start teaching. So the key to deliverance is renouncing evil, okay? Renouncing evil, recognizing that it's evil, and recognizing that it doesn't belong. So you want to renounce evil. The Bible says renounce every evil thing. So it's really worth it if the enemy's attacking you or you're having perverted dreams or you're having dreams of violence or anything where Satan is able to break through and be bugging you some. It's very, very much worth it at that point to take the time to get in the presence of God and say, Lord, why is he doing this? You know, I'm casting down the imagination, which means I'm not going to buy into it. But I want to get beyond casting down the imagination into a place where there isn't even an imagination. I don't believe Jesus walked around casting down imaginations. There was no evil in him. He didn't live in constant warfare. But we have to just take it as deep as the Holy Spirit will let us take it that we can handle. So we want to renounce evil. So we got to recognize it's evil. God did not make evil. Therefore, I'm a child of God. I'm in the image of God. It doesn't belong in me. So the first key to getting free is recognizing that's not me. getting rid of condemnation, getting rid of shame, getting rid of all the things Satan has chained that thing onto you with, okay? So when you're ministering to somebody, you got to recognize that. Like, you've got to, they have to separate themselves from what the enemy's done. Okay, it's just, it's not going to go if you think it's you. If you think this is just how I am, it's not going to go. It's really cool. As more and more people, you know, have been part of this ministry, they can feel there's something in there. They're recognizing it's not them. What do people do before they know Christ? Or even get good teaching like this? They just, what do they think that is? Heartburn or something? What do they think that stuff is that's running around and they're causing confusions? And then the lie that Christians can't have demons, what is that stuff going on? They are so unsensitive to what's happening that the enemy just keeps having his way in our lives, and God wants us free. So first of all, now, if it wasn't for the blood of Christ, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb. If it wasn't for the blood of Christ, you'd have no authority to get those things out. You don't see him casting out demons in the Old Testament. You'd have no authority. It's in Christ. So that thing has already lost its right to be there if you're born again in the Spirit of God. It's lost its right to be there. But if you think it's you, it's not going to go anywhere. It's going to hang on to being identified as you. Could you understand that? All right. So when we say spirit of Jezebel come out, or spirit of Ahab come out, or spirit of Absalom come out, we're talking about the attributes that we have revelation about from the Word of God or somebody teaching in the anointing of God that we now recognize is not us. Okay? So there's not like a formula of saying these words and it has to go. You can have the biggest Jezebel spirit on somebody standing right in front of you, cast it out, they can renounce everything. But if they don't get where they identify with that thing, it's going to stay. Do you get that? As long as one little part of you thinks that that's you, it's your fault, you deserve it, don't give the devil anything. Don't give him any Velcro to stick inside of you, you know. Just, he's got to go. And you've got to really see yourself, honestly, you've got to see this. You got to see yourself as a vessel with a spirit, a soul, and a body. Your body's your vessel. And the spirit is your spirit man that came back to life when you were born again of the Spirit of God. Life came into your spirit. Up to then, your spirit was dead. Now, your spirit was there. Your spirit was collecting demons. You know, your spirit was going to be eternally damned, but that's not there. That's eternally in torment, okay? So don't think that because it says that you're, you have a spirit. Even when Adam and Eve lost, you know, when they messed up in the garden, it says you'll surely die. Their spirit was still there, but it died to life. The life of God was taken out of it, okay? Now, when we're born again, the seed of God goes in, and the very Spirit of God is now in our spirit, and there's life. And that life is what, you know, you build your faith on, you fill in it. And so the Holy Spirit is making your spirit stronger so that your spirit comes in agreement with who you are in Christ and not who you are in evil. And when you really believe what God says about you, no matter what your actions, no matter what else is going on, when you really believe and have faith in what God says about you, you will start to separate yourself from those things that God didn't put there. See, God put everything in you that's really you. He gave you your real spirit. He gave you your real soul. He gave you your body. Okay, that's made wonderfully. Jesus, it says in the Bible, you're wonderfully made in your mother's womb. Okay, that's really belongs to you. So Satan wants you to hate that, pervert that, mess that up, and hate what God's given you. The other thing Satan wants you to do is taking his attributes, which is what you see when you study these characters in the Bible a lot of time, taking his attributes as if that's who you are. And as long as you believe that, they're not going to go anywhere because your identity has joined with the evil, okay? Now, before Christ, they don't have any. They can try to fix themselves and go to gurus and do whatever they want, but truthfully, that evil's still in there. It never leaves once you open the door to let it in or iniquity lets it. It's not going to leave. It likes having a body to hang out in. It doesn't really mind so much if you eat of the tree of good or the tree of evil as long as he gets to stay in there and take your soul to hell and confuse people. So the key is separating yourself, who God made you to be, and God himself in you, from the evil in you. Okay, that's deliverance. If you keep making up excuses for it, if you keep trying to make it look prettier than it is, it's going to stay. If you get prideful so you can't deal with it, well, I can't let anybody know that's there. I'm not even going to pretend it's there. It's going to stay. That's your choice. But eventually, it's going to come to try to destroy you. It's not going to sit in there and happy. It wants to have a party. It wants 7 friends to come in. Then it wants 7 more friends to come in. And you see people who play with this stuff. We're going to be talking about the spirit of lust and perversion for the next couple weeks because the enemy's going to come in. I can tell you prophetically, you are going to watch people fall in ministry and in the church into sexual sin like you've never seen before. It's like a Sodom and Gomorrah spirit that's being released. You can see it in our television. You can see it in the media. You can see it in, I mean, right now, you know, something's wrong with you if you come against homosexuality. Something's wrong with you. And people are really being, and our kids are being fed this stuff nonstop. So the Lord put on my heart, you had better go after every drop of unclean stuff. If you're playing around with pornography, let me just tell you, if you're playing around with pornography, you had better be at every single meeting and hate that thing, because what you think is not going to hurt you, Satan's going to use it to blow up your business. He's going to blow up your relationships. He is going to make a way to put that thing so public that he's going to put so much shame in your life that, yeah, God can still rescue you. God can still turn it around for his glory, but you're going to pay the consequences of not letting God really heal you. The other consequences we're going to see in David's life. You know, David had a son who raped his sister. We're going to talk about this either tonight or next week. That came right through David's line because David slept with Bathsheba and committed adultery. And that unclean thing, each generation gets worse and worse. And that thing's going to come after your kids. So maybe you can hide it, but I think it's going to get so intense in these last days against Christians that what you want is what Jesus had. You come out of that wilderness and there's not one drop left, nothing pretty about it. But you also got to get free from shame. If you hang on to shame, then you really think it's you. When you can, now look what the devil did to me. I hate him. I don't have anything to do with his stuff. And I'm turning from it. And we're going to be talking about this for the next 4 nights, because what I don't want, I don't want to see people in this ministry totally embarrassed and humiliated by the enemy because of sexual perversion. I don't want to see, Satan's going to be, he's already doing this. He's going to give dreams to try to release sexual perversion between you and other people in the ministry. That's one reason we got, you know, this whole covering doctrine. We're going to talk about this. I'm going to tell you something. If you're not here this coming Saturday, I know it might be a nice day outside, but we are going to really talk about some of these doctrine of demons that the enemy has purposely put out there, that people who will not let go of these things are going to go through an unbelievable shaking at the hands of the enemy, I believe, in the next few years. So make yourself available to hear the teaching. Let's do the altar calls. Let's go after this stuff. We're in a kind of ministry that the Lord reveals this. Praise God. He's going to take this ministry from here to a national level. I just believe that. I believe this is going to be the year that that's starting. Whoa. Karen's putting a CD together. We just know it. We feel it. We know it. The retreat, God began to reveal that. And God is raising up a voice, and more than one, to say, hey, we got to deal with the junk to go in deeper places in God. And I think the playground anointing's over. I think that everything's just cutesy and everything's okay when people are living these sinful lives or have this hidden sin. You know, think of it this way. If the devil hasn't pushed that button, but he knows it's in there, he's waiting to push it. So what we want to do is get the buttons out before. I want every button in me out before I ever even produce the fruit of sin. So when I had this dream And I'll talk about it a little more tonight. I said, how could the devil give me that dream? And the Lord started showing me when I was doing the study of a spirit who's sent to excite you and arouse you. And we talked about this once before, but that's what happens through the eye gates and the ear gates when we flip through the channels and stuff. So we've all brought up in a nation that really allows, and think how bad it is for the generation now. You did not see the kind of stuff on TV. When we were kids, that would have been, you know, R-rated or even X-rated that they can find. So what, they blur it maybe a little, and half the time the blur isn't on the right spot. You know what I mean? You know, it's just unbelievable. And see, that's going to cause the Sodom and Gomorrah that's going to bring the wrath of God and actually destroy a generation. So we need to get this stuff out of our hearts so we can pray for our kids. We need to take this serious. You know, we are the most complacent group of people. Americans and the American church are so complacent. We say, if it doesn't affect me personally, if it doesn't affect me personally, what are you going to wait till it blows up and affects you personally? When Christ made a way, we're one body. So if it affects anybody, it affects all of us. And I'm tired of seeing pastors fall into sin. I'm tired of seeing leaders go into homosexuality. I don't believe some of these people are blatant homosexuals. I believe they judged homosexuality. I believe Satan set them up with a seed way back to make them question their manhood. I believe there was something of judging that was in that and a Jezebel spirit that emasculated them and made them feel like something was wrong with them. And then the enemy just made that thing blow up at just the right time to destroy them. You better quit playing with this stuff. And so that's what this whole month of October is going to be. Now, if you really don't have those issues at all, praise God. There are people who don't have them at all. If you don't even want to hear about them to help your kids get free to pray, then we are going to be offering tapes, CDs that, where you can renounce things in the coffee house the last two Tuesdays of the month. So we still want you to come. We want you to get more freedom. But it may just be three people over there that you'll be playing for. Some people have gone through a lot of this, and they really may want to really go through those renouncing tapes, and they're really awesome. I encourage you to do it, but we need to deal with this stuff. So anyway, we have a powerful teaching on Jezebel. Re-listen to it. Everything about that she said is in this book, just about. But there's another spirit besides Jezebel.